Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
To win and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment.
Unbelievable!
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. If you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter at You Better You Bet and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. If you like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends at BetMGM Network is where you can find the wagertainment. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Monday. We have Tyler Morales, Jay Kasson, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Haw, Addie Bates, Nick Kostos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on last night's Packers victory over the Steelers on Sunday Night Football and what it means for both teams moving forward. I was on the Steelers' side, was looking great through 2.5 quarters, and then the rest of the game was played, and it was not a fun betting experience. But we'll unpack that game all throughout this segment here to kick off the show. But before we get into that, want to remind everybody, let us know what you like tonight in Monday Night Football. We have the Commanders at the Chiefs. I want to know your best bets. Could be a side, could be a total, could be a prop. Let us know your best bet, and please include the rationale. Put it into the YouTube chat or into the Twitch chat, and we'll give you a shout-out later on in the program. And we'll especially give you a shout-out if you do the following. A little bit of extra credit for you folks out there on this October 27th, because you look at the calendar, and you look at the betting menu, and you look at all the sports that we have this evening. Baby, we got an Equinox, sports Equinox tonight. Monday Night Football, we have Game 3 of the World Series. We have 11 games in the NBA, 2 games in the NHL. If you got a Sports Equinox parlay, put that in the YouTube chat. Put that into the Twitch chat and let us know why you like the parlay, and we'll give you a shout out later in the program. Sports Equinox, and we got to celebrate this one tonight because, I mean, based on my opinion with the World Series, I'm not so sure this bad boy is going to be going on after Wednesday. I'm just going to say it. I'm just not so sure this bad boy is going after Wednesday. So, like, if you don't do it tonight, we might not get the opportunity on Thursday. So let's make sure we soak this in. Sports Equinox 2025. Let's get it. Put the parlay into the chat. Your favorite bet in the NFL, NBA, World Series, NHL, and we will celebrate the Equinox later in the program. But let's go ahead and get started with what we saw last night, because I'll say this off the top, to be frank. The football yesterday sucked. It did. But damn it, it's football. So even like the worst football, it's like pizza. Like the worst pizza is still pizza. The worst football is still football. And I think last night's game was interesting, not from a results standpoint, because the betting market thought Green Bay would win. I thought it was a coin flip game, field goal game either way, but not shocking that the Green Bay Packers win. But the game was revealing nonetheless, illuminating, if you will, after what we saw last night. And the one thing that I really took away from last night's game while watching it was, okay, what's the Green Bay Packers' realistic upside? That was the biggest thing that I took away, because early on in the first half, and we saw, I mean, the Steelers had a 16-7 lead at halftime. Excuse me. The Steelers had a 16-7 lead at halftime going into the locker room, and it's like, okay, is this going to be another one of those games for Green Bay where they're kind of just playing around and not looking all the way dialed in, and you know that they have much, much more that they could give, but for some reason, it's not clicking. Like, that thought process crossed my mind during the game, at least halfway through the game. And I'm saying this as someone who bet the Pittsburgh Steelers +3.5. But even while thinking about that, because I'm texting back and forth with my brother because he's a junkie. He loves betting this stuff. He loves watching this stuff as well. Big time Cowboys fan, just like I am. We're texting back and forth. And he's like, hey, do you still believe in the Packers? Like, this doesn't look that great. I said, yes, I believe in them. The problem with Green Bay, though, is that they major in making football look difficult. Like, that is their major. They want to sometimes make things hard on themselves, make it look way more difficult than it needs to be. But when they're clicking, it's a work of art. It's an absolute beauty. And through 2.5 quarters, they were making football look difficult, not being able to get off the field against the Steelers offense. I mean, they would get some stops in the red zone or get stops once they got into the plus territory, but still giving up points. And shout out to Chris Boswell. I mean, that dude was automatic in a very difficult place to kick. But like, Green Bay wasn't all the way dialed in. We hadn't heard much from Micah Parsons in the first half. The offense really wasn't getting going. And this is with Christian Watson reinserting himself in the lineup after tearing his ACL this past January. But as it often happens in every Packers game, the switch flips. It flips, and they turn it on, and it's scary. Because what we saw in the back half of the third quarter and in the fourth quarter was Super Bowl good. It's that good from the Green Bay Packers. You put a list of teams together, who can win the Super Bowl? Green Bay better be on that list. And if they're not, you're doing it wrong. Because the Packers are that good as the lone one-loss team right now in the NFC. Green Bay is awesome. Now, can they put it together for four quarters? That remains to be seen. And there's been games where they've done it, but more often we're seeing too many of these kind of like herky-jerky performances. Like last week, discussing this game, we talked about spurtability. The Packers have that spurtability, to steal that line from Clark Kellogg, friend of the show, college basketball analyst for CBS. Like, the Packers have all that and a bag of chips. They are awesome. And last night, the defense, when it came time to turn things around, Micah Parsons kind of rushing from above the center, doing what he usually does as that creative pass rusher, he dominated the second half, making life hard for Aaron Rodgers, whether he was sacking him or disrupting the path of the pocket and letting other guys get to Aaron Rodgers. Like, Parsons is a game changer. You feel his presence. Jordan Love, I mean, the job he did behind center. And this might have been one of the best games, one of the more complete games for Jordan Love. 29 of 37, 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 0 sacks. Jordan Love was damn near perfect. And he had a stretch in that second half where he completed 20 straight passes. That is the upside for the Green Bay Packers when we talk about, can this team win the Super Bowl? It's an emphatic yes that the Green Bay Packers can win the Super Bowl. Because when the offense and Jordan Love are clicking like how they were, and the defense is clicking like how it was with Micah Parsons and that pass rush, who in the NFC is stopping that? Maybe you say the Eagles, maybe you say the Detroit Lions, and we'll see this against the Philadelphia Eagles in a couple of weeks. That's a Monday Night Football game that I'm absolutely fired up for that will go a long way in deciding who's the one seed in the NFC and who's the two seed, etc. But we've seen this team against the Detroit Lions week one. They embarrassed Detroit. They had all us wondering if Detroit was going to take a significant step back. That is the upside of the Green Bay Packers. It is to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And you look at it over at BetMGM, and their odds, +750, makes a lot of sense. Because the betting market has eyes, as we all do, and realizes this team is that good. And I'll say this, like, the biggest reason why I think this team is that good, it is because of the signal caller in Jordan Love. And we're seeing the maturation process, which is so funny that it took place in the game last night, given the fact that he is the successor to Aaron Rodgers, the longtime Packers quarterback now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, the fact that it's all clicking for Jordan Love and it happened in this particular game, and we'll get into more reasons as to why, hint, hint, the Steelers defense. But just to look at Jordan Love, last night he looked like an MVP. And last night, I'm watching that game and I'm thinking to myself, this is why I bet this dude to win the MVP all throughout the summer. Because when it's clean and when he has his weapons, this dude is amazing. And now you look at the MVP market, like Jordan Love is not one of the favorites. He's not one of the short shots. Like there's guys like Mahomes is your favorite, who we'll see later on tonight. Josh Allen, Drake May, Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones. All these guys have shorter prices than Jordan Love, who's currently 18-1 right now over at BetMGM. I don't think that's correct, because Jordan Love, as the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, right now is in line for his team to be the one seed. And statistically, Jordan Love is elite and MVP caliber. QBR, he's in the top five. EPA per play, no one's better in the NFL. Not even Drake May. Like, Jordan Love is that guy. And last night was a big performance for his MVP candidacy. And we all have the jokes. Oh, well, like, he doesn't get going until Toyotathon. And that's like in the middle of November. If he's doing this before Toyotathon, what's it going to look like in a month from now when Jordan Love is lighting defenses on fire? Jordan Love, I think, and when we have this conversation, revisit this on Wednesday, and we revisit this conversation a couple weeks from now, I think Jordan Love is the MVP candidate that right now is being ignored, that fast forward to 2 weeks, he will be squarely in the conversation at 18-1. But the biggest takeaway from the losers, that being the Pittsburgh Steelers, is that last night, the Pittsburgh Steelers lost the AFC North. And this comes as no surprise to me, because I've been talking about this the last 10 days or so, about how the Steelers are a fraudulent team. The Steelers are not a playoff team. And we're all going to find out over these next couple weeks in primetime what the Pittsburgh Steelers are made of. And what they're made of is paper mache. They're not made of anything solid. They are fugazi. They are fraudulent, as we said, off of the loss against the Cincinnati Bengals. And last night, we saw the limitations when this team has to play a Super Bowl contender. It was pathetic. Absolutely pathetic on defense. And the Packers have great players, like Tucker Kraft. I didn't even mention him. That dude was unbelievable. 7 catches, 143 yards, 2 TDs. Like, friend of the show. Not friend of the show, but, like, you know, like, he's a you better, you bet favorite. Tucker Kraft. Like we all love Tucker Kraft. It might be one of the best tight ends. Might be the best tight end in the NFL. Steelers couldn't cover him. Steelers couldn't cover anyone. Christian Watson. They couldn't. Jordan Love got whatever he wanted in the passing game. And I was telling Bill this earlier this morning. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense, on paper, should be good. Like, you can criticize the Cowboys defense, but you look at it on paper, yeah, it's no surprise they're not getting stops. They traded away their only good player in Micah Parsons. It's no surprise. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals defense. Okay, they got Trey Hendrickson. And then what? It's no surprise the Bengals can't get any stops. You look at the Steelers defense, the $160 million defense that we've been discussing throughout this season, and all the guys, the future Hall of Famers and T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, they got guys like Highsmith and Herbig and Jalen Ramsey, all these talented players. Why can't they get stops? The defense stinks. And I don't know if it's Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, or maybe all of these guys who are household names on the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, maybe they're all over the hill. Maybe they all aged overnight, and Father Time has come and knocked on the door and is whooping their ass this 2025 regular season. Maybe that's the case. But I look at that defense, and they cannot stop a nosebleed. It's brutal. And if this is what it is, and I don't know why it won't be this the rest of the way, because Mike Tomlin, I don't think, is going to fire Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator. They're not going to change up the personnel. Why is it going to change? Why is it going to get better? This is a defense that has been getting torched all season long. Gave up 31 to Seattle. Gave up 32 to the Jets. Gave up 32 to Green Bay last night. Gave up 33 to the Bengals last Thursday night. Like, Carson Wentz threw for 350 yards against his defense. That is how bad it is for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they're going to just be drifting in the wind as this team that plays all these over games. And you look up, take a look at that schedule, and you see the offense that's coming to town this upcoming Sunday. Boy, oh boy, get ready for that over, as the Indianapolis Colts bring their league best offense to Pittsburgh to once again be another team that has 7 yards per play, 400 plus yards, etc. Like, this is what it's going to be for Pittsburgh. And because this is what it's going to be, and you look at on the other side what's going on in Baltimore, how can you trust the Pittsburgh Steelers? How? The Steelers can't win this division. And it's a shame because Aaron Rodgers is actually pretty solid. But I just don't know why this team is going to correct things unless they make some big move at the trade deadline. But who can they realistically get that will fix this defense? Nobody. And now BetMGM, the sportsbook where we make it legendary, has realized, as everyone else has realized, oh, Pittsburgh's just not good. Because you look at the AFC North betting market right now, you have a 2-5 Baltimore Ravens as a minus 125 favorite to win the AFC North. And typically, I'd want to push back. Typically, I'd want to say, you know what? This is crazy. They're 2-5. How can you bet that? How could Baltimore be favored? They can easily be favored when you look at the rest of their division and what Pittsburgh did last night and what the Bengals did yesterday, as well as the Cleveland Browns. So Pittsburgh, it started off well, 4-1. Everyone's very excited about this. Look at Aaron Rodgers. No one's talking about the Steelers. There's a reason why no one's been talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's because this team was never good to begin with, and they are absolutely fraudulent. And these last 10 days, they let a precious, precious lead slip away, and they have it right now. But 2 weeks from now, wouldn't shock me if the Ravens are in first place and the Steelers are right behind. On the other side, we'll discuss all the big stories from throughout the world of sports here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebfe hanging with you guys this Monday afternoon. 40 minutes from now, we'll hear from Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the Packers' Sunday night football victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. 35-25. Nick nailed it with his handicap. He liked the over in the game. I bet +3.5. The game closed 2.5. Pittsburgh lost by 10. Such is life betting the NFL, as it feels like it's been like a terrible season for yours truly betting in the NFL. College football is going great. Like, I'm about to go do big bets on campus with Colin. That's what's about to go happen. Colin Wilson of the Action Network. Like, college football has been great. The NFL, I can't shake it. I don't know what's happening, but we'll get back on that horse tonight and the weeks to come. 20 minutes from now, we'll break down Monday Night Football, tonight's game, Commanders at the Chiefs. Let you know what everyone's betting with that contest, all the popular player props. We'll get into the quick hits, the best of the rest from Sunday's action in the NFL, college football, LSU firing Brian Kelly. My opinion, LSU, best job in the country. Who will fill those shoes? Is it going to be Lane Kiffin? I guess we'll find out sometime later on after the college football season. But LSU fired Brian Kelly late last night. And of course, we have game 3 tonight between the Blue Jays and Dodgers in the World Series. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what's going on? Unfortunately, today, a losing Monday for both of our teams. The Bears losing to the Ravens, and the Cowboys getting embarrassed in the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of things are backwards today, Femi. Nick's team lost, your team lost, my team lost. Mike Brown's team won. Go figure. It's a Jet victory Monday, and nobody else can get a victory.
Take flight is what the New York Jets say, and they took flight yesterday. A stunning win, which we'll break down later on in this segment. But yeah, shout out to the New York Jets, and I guess shout out to the Bengals defense for letting them score 23 points in the fourth quarter. Like, my goodness. And that game was honestly the only good game that we saw yesterday in the NFL. So kudos to all parties involved for at least entertaining us for a few hours. But let's go ahead and get into the top stories that we have here on this Monday. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
I mean, let's start in the NFC East, where the Eagles beat the Giants 38-20 in this one. Saquon Barkley has really his first Saquon Barkley day of the season, 175 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns. Jalen Hurts throws for four touchdowns. Eagles cruise in this one, but Femi, rough news for the Giants. Cam Scadaboo dislocates his ankle. Pretty gruesome. If you saw the play, he is out for the season.
Yeah, that's a real bummer for Cam Scadaboo, and like a bummer for the New York Giants, who were like, even though they're not good, at least they were fun and interesting. And now you take Scadaboo out of the equation, and they still have Jackson Dart, and it's interesting to see how his maturation will go throughout the rest of the season as a rookie quarterback. But I mean, they lose a lot of juice not having Cam Scadaboo, and like hopefully speedy recovery for him. That injury looked a lot like Dak Prescott's injury against the New York Giants back in 2020, where it's just like, oh, buddy, that's going to be a full season, and hopefully everything is back on track when you return in 2026. So that's a bummer for Cam Scadaboo. As for the game yesterday, this was one of the few victories for me yesterday. Laid the 7 with the Philadelphia Eagles. They take care of business, and they look more like a team that is fulfilling those Super Bowl expectations. And I know like the big thing with Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, has been like the predictability. Hey, when the Eagles are under center, they oftentimes run the football. When they're in the shotgun, they pass the ball. And for that matter, they hang out in shotgun quite a bit. But we're starting to see more under center stuff from the Eagles. I know a lot of the people like on like All 22 Twitter, the tape junkies have been breaking that down, saying, hey, look, the Eagles starting to pass from under center a little bit more, starting to mix things up. And if they do that, this offense is still loaded on paper. Like, honestly, and I understand the competition that they face, like, this, I think, was the most impressive performance by the Eagles offense all year. Like, and I get it, they were going up against the Giants, and the Giants aren't good, but what they were doing from a process standpoint made sense to me. And that is how the Eagles can go back to being the dangerous team that we all know them to be and the Super Bowl champions that we all know them to be. Like, if this is what the process is going to be like, this is going to be the approach, you have to put the Eagles right up there among the favorites to win the Super Bowl. Like, and I'm saying this as somebody who's been very critical of Philadelphia all throughout this season. But yesterday was great. And they did this without A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is an elite wide receiver. And yes, like, he has the cryptic posts every single week. And sometimes you're like, what day or what side of the bed did A.J. wake up on today? Like, you're always wondering what's going through his mind. But for them to have 427 yards, 7.5 yards per play without A.J. Brown, if they continue to have this approach with A.J. Brown, how are you stopping this offense? Because the old line's going to be really good. Saquon sounds like his groin injury wasn't that bad, so he should be good to go. Like, it's going to be all systems go for Philly on offense. Now, defensively, yeah, you can poke some holes. Of course, the secondary is not very good. And if you can protect, you can probably create some explosive plays, as we saw the Giants able to do yesterday in the loss. But I think offensively, that's where the bread will be buttered for this Eagles team. And yesterday was a very nice step in the right direction for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the tush push. Like, that's a part of this thing too, right? Like, the tush push play that everyone saw where Jalen Hurts snuck the ball and like put the ball out forward, and then you see Kayvon Thibodeau rip the ball away from him. It should have been a fumble. Like, we all like have been watching football for quite some time. We all understand what forward progress is. That didn't look like forward progress to me. That looked like, oh, he just got the ball ripped out of his hands and the officials just said, oh, forward progress, nothing to see here. Come on. Like, we can't do forward progress when literally the tush push is a forward progress play. Guys are pushing him from behind to get him over the line. Like, you can't have it both ways with that stuff. Is that the reason why the Giants lost the game? No. The Giants were never going to win the game. The Giants were probably never going to cover the game if that doesn't happen. But it is a little bit annoying, and I'm assuming this will be the last year that we see the tush push, given all the complaints about the play every single Sunday. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, the Denver Broncos club the Dallas Cowboys 44-24. Cowboys defense had absolutely no answer for Sean Payton and the Broncos offense. 420 yards, averaged over 9 yards a play for most of this game. Broncos move to 6-2 atop the AFC West. Cowboys fall to 3-4-1 as they show they are just a functional defense away from being a solid football team.
I mean, I'll just take like a bad defense, honestly, as a Cowboys fan. Like, I don't need the defense to function. Just be bad. Don't be terrible. Don't be horrendous, which is what they are right now. Like just give me like the 26th best defense in the league. I'll sign up for that in blood. Because like they're like right now, like what, 31? 30th on their best day? Like this team has been so bad defensively. And honestly, this is probably my biggest bet regret from this past Sunday's games. I bet Dallas +3.5. And watching the game and looking at the inactives list and being like, oh, we're like, they're down three starters. And yeah, the starters aren't good for the Cowboys, but still, it is three starters in the secondary. It's like they're down three starters. Like, that's going to be a little bit of an issue for the secondary. And it was a big issue for the secondary. And once again, the matchup that decided this, it was Sean Payton versus Matt Eberflus. I you say that out loud, and it's like, why the hell would you ever bet the Dallas Cowboys? And that, to me, sometimes you get a little bit bogged down with the numbers and like, oh, like I'm going to take 3.5 and this and that. Like, give me the – like, no. It's Sean Payton, the play caller, versus Matt Eberflus, a play caller. That's a big-time advantage, Sean Payton. And kudos to Denver. Like, I know Bo Nix played well because everyone plays well against the Dallas Cowboys. Like, J.K. Dobbins was running his ass off, 111 yards on just 15 carries. R.J. Harvey with a couple of touchdowns. Like, this thing was over from Jump Street. And also a concerning thing for Dallas is that this was like the first bad game for Dak Prescott all year. Dak can't afford to play poorly because this will be the result. Like, they need Dak to be elite just to be competitive in games. Not to win, just to be competitive. If Dak has a bad game, 20-point loss, see you later, take the L. Like, that's what it's going to be. So a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott going forward, but that's what Jerry Jones decided to do for him. He said, hey, I'm going to trade away our best player on defense and on the team and say, Dak, it's all on you, buddy. Yesterday, Dak couldn't handle it against that Denver defense, and we all saw the result. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, the Baltimore Ravens get their second win of the year. Victory over the Chicago Bears 30-16. Wasn't a sexy game for the Ravens. Tyler Huntley and Derrick Henry did enough. Bears offense looked really disjointed for most of this one. Couldn't really get going at all. Ravens now have to turn around and play Miami on Thursday night. It is trending that Lamar Jackson will play in that one, and the Ravens will have a chance to win their third game of the season and get back in the mix in the AFC North.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the Ravens are already in the mix. Like, they might be the mix because I don't like the other three teams in the division. Like I just got done addressing Pittsburgh in the last segment. Wait till we get to Cincinnati here coming up shortly and all Cleveland. We all know what that is. That's just over, and that's tanking towards 2026. So, like, Baltimore is in a very, very nice spot despite being 2-5. Like, this game, I mean, like, the shenanigans over the weekend is, like, the biggest story from this game. Like Lamar Jackson, oh, actually, he wasn't a full participant. He was limited. He was full with the scout team reps, but wasn't, like, his usual. It's like, what are we doing? And after the game, John Harbaugh was asked about it and said, like, hey, this was an honest mistake, et cetera, et cetera. Whether it was an honest mistake or it was nefarious, whatever you want to call it, like, they're going to be fined a hefty fine. And they might even get a draft pick taken from them. Like, the NFL doesn't play around with this stuff, especially given all the news that's going on in the world of sports this past week. Like, the NFL doesn't want to mess around with, oh, injury report shenanigans and all this stuff that's going on. So bad job by the Ravens for doing all that stuff. We all saw the line fluctuating greatly throughout on Saturday when we got word that Lamar was ruled out. And all of a sudden, it's Ravens 7 goes down to Ravens -1.5. And then you see the buyback. People bet it out to 2.5. And the people who bet the buyback, they were the ones on the winning side as Baltimore won this by a couple of touchdowns. But just a bad job by Baltimore, but a good job by Baltimore getting this victory. Now for the Chicago Bears. Every time I looked up, it felt like Caleb Williams was taking an intentional grounding. I don't know what was happening. Maybe it was just one and it just stuck in my brain for so much, but like, he's got to figure it out. He's got to play faster. Cause like, even watching him, it just feels like everything feels late. It's like, hey, the guy's open. He's open. Now he's no longer open. Like, it's just everything looks like it's late. And I'm not claiming to be Mr. All 22 grinding the film. I'm just watching it from the TV copy at home. And he just looks a little bit disjointed. And until they correct it, until he trusts what he's seeing and starts anticipating as a passer, I think this is what it's going to be for the Bears offense. And if that's what it is, this is a 500 team. They had a great opportunity to try to steal a win playing Tyler Huntley. and they blew it. They couldn't take care of business, and now here you are 4-3 in a very competitive wild card race in the NFC with teams that are much more established than they are. It is an uphill battle for Chicago to make the playoffs, and I know it's first year for Ben Johnson. Maybe playoffs wasn't the goal for this season, but they wanted to see improvement. And we're seeing a little bit of improvement, but not enough for the guy that was billed as the number one prospect coming out of USC, the Heisman Trophy winner. I need to see more from Caleb Williams before I buy into the Chicago Bears anymore going forward. Bill, hit me with the next story.
Well, we mentioned it before, Femi. The New York Jets get their first win of the season. They win a wild one over the Cincinnati Bengals, 39-38. Bengals defense was the medicine the Jets offense needed. Jets have over 500 yards of offense, score 15 unanswered points in the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. Justin Fields has 275 yards, throws a touchdown pass to Mason Taylor that gives the Jets, Femi, the win in the closing minutes of the game.
What a game this was. I mean, this was nuts, this Jets-Bengals game. Like, I figured, okay, you'll probably get some points. I had some Jets money line and some underdog money line parlays. I was the only underdog to win, so clearly that didn't go well. But just watching the game, I mean, Cincinnati was up 17-3. They were up 24-10, 31-16, 38-24. Like, these double-digit leads all throughout the game, and they still lost. And they lost because this defense is horrific. Like, they are, it's scary how bad they are. And Trey Hendrickson, who got banged up in the game again, looks like he aggravated that hip injury that made him miss the game against the Steelers. Like, you remove him from the lineup, and they're definitely not stopping anyone. Like, think about it. This is the New York Jets. The Jets had 502 yards. Imagine what a good NFL offense does against this defense. Like, this is horrendous. And now Joe Flacco's banged up with the shoulder injury. Like, it's so bad for Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, like, we haven't talked much about him being on the hot seat. Buddy, you better watch out, because you get a couple more of these types of performances, you might be out before Joe Burrow ever returns from this turf toe. And for the New York Jets, like, maybe this is a turning point. Maybe this is a positive step going forward. I tend to think it's more so just the Cincinnati Bengals. But for at least a Sunday, good for Aaron Glenn getting his first victory as an NFL head coach. Good for Justin Fields for finally winning a game where the opposition scores more than 20 points. And I know he had a hell of a leak with the owner calling him out. He balled out yesterday. So, like, good on him for doing that stuff. And I'm sure, obviously, with all the news that we saw yesterday, good for New York Jets fans to have something to smile about. But, yeah, this was a wild win, and a win that I know knocked some people out of their survivor pools. Sorry if you bet on Joe Flacco and the Bengals to get you home, because, that game always looked a little bit strange. And strange was what it was, as the New York Jets came out victorious. Bill, hit me with the next story.
I mean, the Dolphins beat the Falcons 34-10. Tua throws four touchdowns. Kirk Cousins in for an ailing Michael Penix. Played like his Achilles tendon was still torn. Did not look good in this one, Femi. Mike McDaniel keeps his job and remains Miami's head coach after a comfortable win over an Atlanta team that is tough to figure out.
Yeah, we say good for Aaron Glenn, good for Mike McDaniel. Like, you know, he just needed 1 week to feel somewhat good about what he was up to. But this, to me, it's all about the Atlanta Falcons. And there were actual discussions before the game. What if Kirk Cousins plays well? Does this put the Falcons in an awkward position with Michael Penix? Come on. Like, be for real. Like, Kirk Cousins was a disaster yesterday. Like, an absolute disaster. Like, he trying to target Darnell Mooney. It looked like they just met 5 minutes prior to kickoff. The Falcons falconed once again, as this team just feels like it's the same song and dance year in, year out. Oh, there's this potential. Could this be the year? And then they're winning games that they have no business winning, and they're losing games they have no business losing. Welcome to the Atlanta Falcons experience. On the other side, we'll hit all the other games from throughout Sunday's action in the NFL, preview the World Series, and break down the happenings from this weekend in college football, including LSU firing Brian Kelly.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Monday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll hear from Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's win by the Green Bay Packers. Packers improved to 5-1-1, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had just a prime opportunity, a golden opportunity to go out there and grab control of the AFC North over these past 10 days, but have fumbled the bag, losing to the Bengals last Thursday and losing to the Packers last night after being up by 9 at halftime, up 19-14. Looked like things were going well. Renegades playing. It's like, all right, here's where, you know, the Packers make a mistake and the Steelers capitalize. Nope. Here's Jordan Love with 20 straight completions, and Green Bay is going to win the game by 10. How about that? So Nick will talk about all of that coming up to begin the next hour. But have a lot to get to here in this segment, so let's waste no more time. Monday Night Football tonight have the Commanders and the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. Right now over at BetMGM, Kansas City, an 11-point favorite. Actually, we're down to 10 with that game. I'm looking at the updated numbers here. It looks like a lot of money has come in on Washington. I do have a bet on the side in this game, which we'll talk about a little bit later on at 6:40 Eastern time, but money coming in on the underdog Commanders. I'm seeing 10s at numerous sports books, including BetMGM. 10.5 still the consensus, but 10 minus 115 at BetMGM with the total sitting at 48. As for how everyone's betting the game, despite the movement on Washington, a lot of the money's been coming in on Kansas City. 59% of the bets, 69% of the handles on the Chiefs laying 11. Once again, that number is now down to 10 at BetMGM. 60% of the bets, 69% of the handle on over 48. 66% of the bets on Commanders money line at plus 525, but 63% of the handle is on Chiefs money line at minus 750, having to lay 750 just to win 100 on the Chiefs to win the game outright. As for the most popular player props, the fifth most popular is Commanders quarterback Marcus Mariota, over 28.5 rushing yards. Fourth most popular, Tyquan Thornton, over 1.5 receiving yards. Very interesting prop there. Third most popular is Chiefs running back Breshard Smith, over 1.5 receptions. Second most popular, Rashee Rice, over 5.5 receptions. And the most popular prop over at BetMGM, where we look to make it legendary, is Breshard Smith over 15.5 receiving yards. So Breshard Smith, two of the top three in tonight's game against the Commanders. As for the most popular anytime TD scores, Rashee Rice is the most popular score at minus 115. Now, there is some big injury news with this game. Of course, the headliner being Washington Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels. He is out with a hamstring injury. We don't know what the status is going to be upcoming on Sunday when they take on the Seahawks, but we know he's not playing tonight. After he suffered the hamstring injury in the loss to the Dallas Cowboys. For Kansas City, Josh Simmons, their first-round pick at left tackle, he remains out due to a personal reason. Returned to the team over the weekend, but still, like, they're not going to play him in the game when he hasn't practiced in a couple of weeks. I would anticipate that he plays this Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, but we're not going to know that until Wednesday at the earliest. Their guard, all-pro guard, Trey Smith, dealing with a back injury, suffered the injury in their win over the Raiders last Sunday. He's listed as doubtful. So Kansas City might be down two impactful offensive linemen, which could be a little bit problematic for that Chiefs offense. So that is tonight's game. We'll talk about this all throughout the show, update you guys on the numbers. But money coming in on Washington as we are now down to 10 in the market, which is interesting because based on what we saw over the weekend and on Sunday, the NFL favorites have been crushing it. Like, the favorites have been awesome. Last Sunday, we talked about it. Hey, favorites go 11-1 straight up. How about yesterday, where the favorites went 9-2 straight up on Sunday? And it's 10-2 if you think back to last Thursday when the Chargers beat the Minnesota Vikings. So 9-2 straight up. In week 8 so far, the favorites are 10-2 against the spread. And I saw this note from Evan Abrams over at the Action Network. Get a load of this. If the Chiefs cover tonight, and that'll be covering a 10-point spread, if they cover tonight, it will be the best win percentage for favorites in a single week in the last 40 years.
It is unprecedented chalk that we are seeing in week 8 in the NFL. And I saw this, and I was telling this stat to Nick and Bill on the call this morning when we were getting ready for the show. Just one of the 11 games were decided by single digits yesterday. The lowest percentage of games decided by single digits on a Sunday in the regular season since week 14 of 1970, which only had one of 12 games decided by single digits. 1970, of course, the year of the merger. That is according to Nerding on NFL over on Twitter. So it's been an uneventful week. It's been a chalky week. We'll see if tonight's Commanders-Chiefs game can change our fortunes with that here on Monday Night Football. But let's get to the rest of the quick hits from throughout the NFL before we get to college football and the World Series. The Indianapolis Colts just keep chugging along, don't they? The Colts keep chugging along. We're all wondering, when's the other shoe going to drop? When is Indianapolis going to have that game where we all think, oh, they're fraudulent? No, they're just going to keep covering numbers, keep blowing out bad teams. And last night was a 38-14 over the Tennessee Titans. Indianapolis improves to 7-1. And the story, of course, is Jonathan Taylor, 153 yards, two more rushing touchdowns, had another receiving touchdown as well. This dude has been on an absolute heater. Absolutely love where we're at with the Offensive Player of the Year market. Talked about Taylor about 6 weeks ago to be OPOY at 15-1. He is now minus 250 in that market. Taylor has been outstanding. There's been no better offensive player in the league than Jonathan Taylor. And the Colts, they're going to start to get tested. There's no more Tennessee Titans on the schedule. Those Titans games are done. Like they played the Raiders. They played some of these sorry teams. They're going to start to get tested. And this week, on the road at Pittsburgh, you know, Steelers' defense is bad, but, like, you know, that's still kind of a tough environment to play in. They got a game against Kansas City coming up in a few weeks. So we're going to learn about the Indianapolis Colts some more, but so far, this team has been awesome, and yet another game where it's 400-plus yards and 7 yards per play. That's been the story with the Colts all season long. How about the Houston Texans? They beat the San Francisco 49ers 26-15. This game was all about pass rush. Pass rush was the story. The game was won and lost in the trenches. The San Francisco 49ers had zero pass rush. They could not get to C.J. Stroud. So C.J. Stroud had a very early good game. He looked like C.J. Stroud that we saw a couple years ago. He looked like C.J. Stroud that we saw in good games last year. He had it all clicking despite not having a couple of his wide receivers in Nico Collins and in Christian Kirk. And on the other side, the Niners couldn't protect. Here's Mac Jones against this hellacious pass rush led by Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. Pass rush was the story. The Niners, I think, will be fine once they get some of these guys back. Maybe Purdy can play this week as they've been nursing him along with this turf toe injury. They're going to get Ayuk back. They're going to get some other pass catchers back. Ricky Pearsall, we've been waiting on him with the knee injury. They'll be fine, but defensively, boy, they got to drum up some kind of a pass rush, because if they can't, it's going to be a lot of these over kind of a games for the Niners. But good win for Houston. Big game, though, coming up this Sunday as they host the Denver Broncos. The New England Patriots. Speaking of a good offense, how about the Patriots? They beat the Browns 32-13. I was on Cleveland, talked about how this was going to be the best defense the Browns or the Patriots have faced all year. And I actually think I was right with that handicap. It just didn't matter. I mean, Myles Garrett had 5 sacks in the game. He was wrecking the game and actually keeping the game somewhat competitive in the first half. But he could only do so much when you have Dylan Gabriel on the other side doing absolutely nothing. Guys, turning the ball over now. The whole thing with Gabriel was, hey, he's not going to turn the ball over. At least we'll have a fighting chance. Yesterday, he's throwing interceptions. And if he's doing that, you're getting blown out. As Drake May and the Patriots continue to roll yesterday afternoon, May, he looks awesome. He's in the MVP conversation. New England, they have themselves a guy in second-year quarterback Drake May. How about the other game in Charlotte? The Bills, they beat the Carolina Panthers 40-9. The conversation about Andy Dalton potentially being an upgrade, I know fantasy circles were talking about that. Oh, like Andy Dalton, the yards per attempt might be, come on. Andy Dalton looks like he's cooked. It's over. You don't want him out there. It's a massive drop-off going from Bryce Young to Andy Dalton. This is not going to be a fallen hero situation. I ended up not betting this game. I'm glad I didn't, because I might have found myself on the side of Carolina. That is a bet that you knew was done. Andy Dalton is completely cooked. And for the Bills, nice win. Now let's see it this Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And finally, a game I did bet, and a game that did not go well for me. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they beat the Saints 23-3, turning them over. Spencer Rattler was benched in the game due to reckless play. Just an egregious pick six in the first half. I was just like, when you see that happen, you just know that your game is cooked. Your bet is cooked at that point. Tampa wasn't even that impressive. I thought New Orleans' defense held up pretty well in the game. But Tampa, they're dealing with a bunch of injuries, of course. New Orleans, it is time to see Tyler Shuck. And I'm hoping that we see him start this Sunday when they take on the LA Rams. So those are your quick hits in the NFL. Let's quickly get to college football, as the big news last night in college football is that LSU fired Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly was not a bad coach at LSU. I mean, his record's 34-14. You know, that's like we've seen better coaches like have that and be like, oh, like look at this coach. Let's extend them. But the problem is that you can't do this at LSU. And you can't do it, especially when you're kind of like an awkward fit as the head coach of that program. And that's what Brian Kelly was. It never really made sense, him being the head coach of the LSU Tigers. And I'll say this, like, I think LSU is the best job in the country. Like, think about the coaches who have won there. Obviously, Nick Saban's the GOAT. He won there. He would win anywhere. But Les Miles won a national title. Ed Orgeron won a national title. Like, LSU, the recruiting, it is fertile down there in New Orleans, the recruiting hotbed. Like, there's so much talent in that area. And now with the playoff being expanded to 12 teams, you better make the playoffs as the head coach of LSU. And LSU was not going to do that. And I don't know who they hire from here. Maybe it's Lane Kiffin. I know that name's been thrown around there between LSU and Florida. What's Lane Kiffin going to do? Maybe that's what they want to do. But like, you can't be what Brian Kelly was doing. Like, because not only was the team not that good, it didn't look like anybody was enjoying themselves there either. And I said it at the start of the season, like, hey, which of these top 10 teams might fall out of the top 25? LSU was the team that I pointed to because I'm like, I just don't believe it with Brian Kelly as the head coach. And now look at this situation. Texas A&M beats them up this past Saturday night. And I'm sure they'll attract great candidates because, once again, I think it's the best job in the country. But, boy, this was always going to end this way. And I'm glad that LSU did this now as opposed to just playing out the string. And maybe we get a kind of a dead cat bounce spot with LSU going forward from a betting standpoint. Last thing, though, before we wrap up the hour, Game 3 tonight, World Series, coming off of Saturday night's Game 2 masterpiece by Yoshinobu Yamamoto. That's one way to have all the bullpen concerns right, is to just pitch a complete game. Hey, bullpen, you don't have to participate. I'm just going to go the distance like I did in the NLCS. But tonight, the Dodgers are a big favorite, minus 200. Toronto's plus 165. We have Max Scherzer versus Tyler Glasnow. The Dodgers are going to win this game. I don't want to lay minus 200, but I'll say this, spoiler alert, the Dodgers will be in my sports Equinox parlay. They will be a leg in that parlay because I do think the Dodgers win tonight. I think the Dodgers win Tuesday night. I think the Dodgers win on Wednesday night. And I think the Dodgers win this bad boy in five. I'm still sticking to my series prediction. Dodgers, 2.5 games on the spread. They'll get it done tonight with Tyler Glasnow on the mound. On the other side, Nick Costos joins us with his thoughts on the Packers' win over the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.